Thank you, Jordan. Hey, everybody, it's me, it's Bill. A couple of changes in your lineup. Please take out your scorecards and make the appropriate changes.
Now, ready?
The role of Wendy Snyder will be played by that guy you just heard, Dane Neal. Hi, Dane.
Hello.
Thanks for being here today.
Ready.
And then in the newsroom, instead of Steve Bertrand, it's our old friend, Jordan Bernfield. Hello, Jordan. Jordan, very shy.
I'm here. No, there sorry about that. Hi, Bill. Hi, Dane.
Welcome
hey,
back.
Jordan. Great
Thanks.
To have
welcome
you.
Welcome back.
It's good to be here.
A more official welcome later on. We rarely start the show with a guest.
This is a pre-welcome.
Yes.
I like this. I get a pre-welcome.
You get a pre-welcome. A full-on welcome coming your way later, I promise. But first, let's go to the phone lines where our friend Chris Hardwick is standing by. Chris is performing here in town at the Improv Friday and Saturday night. Chicago.improv.com for tickets. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? So Dane is in for Wendy.
Dane is in for Wendy, and then Jordan. So you actually, you are keeping a scorecard, correct, Chris?
I'm keeping a scorecard because I was thinking that Wendane would be a good mashup. Just to slide people into the so I guess we're welcoming Dane first and foremost.
I'm a very welcoming person, Chris. I will welcome almost anybody to anything.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the pre-welcome as well.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Can I tell you the stir you've created here at the station? You're on with Steve Cochran, our morning guy, tomorrow, and his fear was you would say all the really good things today on my show. So if you could, just say some of the good things now and save a couple for tomorrow.
Pace yourself.
Yes.
I already blew my Wendane joke. Like, I should do that tomorrow on his show. He's like, what are you talking about?
Close with that tomorrow. That's a good closer.
I opened with it on this show. I'm going to close with it on that one. So it's all,
bookended.
It all works out.
Absolutely. First of all, you and I spoke years ago. I'm sure you don't remember. I was hosting the night show here, and I asked you a question that really, you gave me one of the best answers of all time, and I want to bring it up again. I said to you, there was a time in American culture where being a nerd was a negative thing, but now it's not that way at all. What happened? What changed?
And so you want me to answer that now, or was this from the answer from before?
I wanted to see if you could answer it word for word like you did 7 years ago, because that would be so impressive.
Oh, my God. I would be such a cool robot if I could do that. Well, I think sort of what changed, I mean, it's kind of the thing that changes everything, is that I'm sorry to say, I think it was a bit of money that helped, but in a good way, mm-hmm. in that all of the nerds from like the 70s and 80s grew up, and then they made films like Spider-Man,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
X-Men, Harry Potter. So you have in the late 90s or early 2000s, you have the confluence of all these films that sort of come together, and you know, they make a ton of money, and then all of a sudden the entertainment business goes, oh, this audience that we thought was so niche before is actually pretty substantial,
yeah.
you know? And so then right around the corner from the release of those films, you start having the wide adoption of broadband. So everyone in the, you know, between 2000, 2005 starts getting faster internet in their homes. Like, everyone had internet before that, but it wasn't super fast. Now it starts to get super fast. So you have online communities, you have social media is in its nascent stages way back then, and so you have people in forums coming together to lift up all these properties,
yep.
and the nerds are the early adopters who are going to be chatting the most on the internet. And so it was just a handful of, and then in television you start to see shows that reflect these types of genres. So, you know, it was really just a bunch of things that happened at once, and also the special effects industry got good enough that, you know, like superhero films in the 70s were, I mean, Superman was the Richard Donner Superman was good.
Yes.
But outside of that, like, you know, that 70s Spider-Man where they just threw a net for a web,
right.
It was just like not,
right.
It just wasn't really.
But remember, Chris, you'd hear the phrase, somebody would be described, they go, hey, see that guy over there? He's a closet nerd. You never hear that anymore. People wear it very proudly now.
Well, that's how you that nerd culture was victorious, was that in the old days, the insult to someone was telling that they were a nerd, and I know this because I was called that in
yeah.
the 80s in grade school. And now calling someone a fake nerd is hugely insulting because it basically means you're inauthentic. You know, someone's like, you're a fake nerd. You're like, no, I'm not. Here's all my creds, you know. So it did. You can. It definitely flipped. And but I think it's good. You know, I think it's good. And there are some, you know, like really, really deep trench nerds who don't like. It's sort of like people who like punk music, you know, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden their punk band signs the major label and like, man, this sucks.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Because they, they don't want to share it with fringe people, like with people who didn't, you know, like grow up and live it. But I just think the more people that are into it, the more people that can share it, the more giant Avengers movies we get, the better, you know, like yep. those style of big budget epic, you know, that kind of get us to put on pants and go to a movie theater. Those are good. It's good.
You look at the ability to be kind of famous and successful and have a positive image and fame as a nerd. I wanted to know, and for the listeners that may not be aware of this, is that your dad was a professional bowler. Your parents met, you know, at a bowling alley and for walks of notoriety. I mean, there can be other different ways to be famous. Was there ever a time, instead of, you know, on the entertainment side or the comedy side, that you were maybe pulled in and drawn in by the allure of the lanes?
that smelly, oily allure. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, and it's not this way anymore because, you know, people don't smoke in buildings anymore, but you would come home and you would have all sorts of smells from the bowling center. You would smell like lane oil, cigarette ash, everything. So no, it did not. My dad was always like, "Don't be a professional bowler."
Oh, even your dad.
Even my dad was like, "It's not. It's not a great lifestyle." He goes, "And there's no money in it anymore." Like it's, you know. So he said, but my parents realized pretty early on that I wanted to go into comedy and entertainment and stuff, and they fostered that. So you know, I was very appreciative.
Chris, you've had a great long run as the host of Talking Dead over on AMC. Whose idea was it initially to say, we've got a TV show, people like the TV show, they like to talk about the TV show, let's make a TV show out of that? Whose idea was that? Was that smart?
It was a company called Embassy Row who produces the Andy Cohen show. And back then, it was, you know, Watch What Happens Live, and he talked about the Real Housewives show. And so they and AMC said, "Oh, I wonder if people would be interested in this kind of a thing for a scripted show." And so that's when we started Talking Dead. This was 2011, and back then, you know, when we first did the show, people thought it was the stupidest idea.
Really?
Why would you talk about another? But then after a while, the same people who said it was stupid started trying to copy it because they realized, like, oh yeah, it's just like, you know, sports has wrap ups and political stuff has wrap-ups, and you know, it's pulling your community together to sort of talk about the bigger ideas and kind of let people live vicariously through the couch conversation and kind of give them a way to, you know, like their minds or their brains are spinning after they watch an episode where a bunch of people die. And so they, you know, it's kind of therapy in a way.
And can I pitch an idea to you? Don't steal the idea. It's just a pitch. Tell me what you think. Go back and do this with old TV shows. Have Talking F Troop and Talking McHale's Navy and Talking I Dream of Jeannie. Wouldn't that be a killer show?
Yeah, there was so much character drama on F Troop. I thought you were going to say, because I remember like when Lost was on, that's a show that I wanted and I didn't know I needed an after show for, because you were always calling your friends like, what is that? Why is there a polar bear? You know, like that would have been a show, or Deadwood would have been a show. I don't know if comedy, I don't know if a wrap-up show for a comedy, although to me it is hilarious to have a serious conversation about Larry Storch.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's these are fun things to try.
Do they show you the episodes of Walking Dead prior to you seeing them on Talking Dead? You've already seen the episode, haven't you? Or maybe not?
I watch a couple hours before we do our show because I mean, if I could, I would just watch it when it aired, but it's too close to, we have to get ready for our show. So I watch it like 2 or 3 in the afternoon on that Sunday, and then I go to work because our show's live. So I just don't want what's coming up to be in my head because I don't want to accidentally spoil anything and I want to be focused on that episode. So I just don't, some people don't believe that I don't watch ahead, but I really don't because I don't want to know what's going on. And I'm a bad secret keeper, so people always try to pin me down for like, who did this and who killed who and why is it? And if I don't know, then I can't, you know, I'm just like a spy with no information. Like, you can't, there's nothing you can get out of me because I don't know anything.
Chris, it's fun to talk to you, and I hope that your shows at the Chicago Improv are great this weekend. If you want more information, go to chicago.improv.com, and I'm glad you saved some of the good stuff for tomorrow for Steve Cochran's show. Enjoy yourself on his show.
I'm going to call in tomorrow to Steve's show and be like, Steve, I got nothing.
Nope. Used it all.
I ran out of gas yesterday. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, give it your best, Chris. That's all we can ask.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care, Chris. Chris Hardwick, everybody. Appearing at the Chicago Improv tomorrow and Saturday. We'll take a quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Danen for Wendy on WGN.